Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Samach Alef. We begin on the bottom line of Samach Mipes, where the Gemara continues discussing the words of our Mishnah, which spoke about the things that a man is allowed to go out and or not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, because it might be considered Haitzah that he's transporting, carrying something from one domain to another domain. So the Mishnah said, V'lo b'yachid, a man's not allowed to go out with one shoe on Shabbos. As Rashi explained in the Mishnah, there's two different pshatim, one from the Yerushalmi and one from his Rebbeim. The Yerushalmi said the reason why you can't go out with one shoe is because people are going to suspect, hey, where's your other shoe? Obviously, you're hiding it under your cloak and that you're carrying it out into Rosh Hashanah. That's why you're not going to go out with, because of that Mara sign that seems like you're carrying. The second shot Rashi brought from his Rebbeim is because people are going to laugh at him. What are you doing wearing one shoe? Not two shoes, you're not a normal person. They might be embarrassed, he might come to take off his shoe, and then he's going to carry by mistake and forget the Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. So therefore, that's why Mishnah said he can't go out with one shoe. However, the Mishnah said, Bizman she'in barag lemaka, this isser of walking out with one shoe because we're concerned is only when there's no wound on his foot. On that, the Gemara infers on the top of Samach Alef, and now we begin the new daf. Hayes barag lemaka. But if there is a wound on his foot, then nafik, then he can go out into Rosh Hashanah. And that's the inference from the Mishnah. Now the question is, which one of his feet is the one wearing the shoe? As the Gemara says, behind menayu nafik, which one of his legs are wearing the shoe? And the Gemara brings two different interpretations of which one of the shoes is going to be. Amravuna, ba'isa shiesh b'maka, the one that has the wound, the one that's hurting, that's the foot that's wearing the sandals. And therefore the Gemara infers, Alma k'saver sandal l'shem tzaravet. Obviously Rav Huna holds the reason why a person wears sandals is because of pain, that his foot shouldn't get hurt from the different sharp and pointy things that are on the road, and that he's going to be in pain. So therefore when they see this person limping, they know he has a wound on his foot, and that's the foot that he's wearing the shoe on. They're not going to suspect him, as the Yerushalmi's pshat, that he's hiding his other shoe in his hand under his clothing, because they recognize from the way he's walking that his feet are hurting, and that he usually doesn't get pained by the sharp things in the road, and therefore he's only wearing the shoe on the one that has the wound, and that's enough. And obviously he usually doesn't wear shoes, so therefore they're not suspecting, hey, where's the other shoe you're obviously carrying it? This guy doesn't wear shoes. The only reason why he would ever wear sandals is because of tsar of pain, because it's going to be sharp and pointy things, and this foot has a wound, so it's already more vulnerable. And that's why he's wearing a shoe, but the other shoe we're not concerned about, because we say that he'd never wear shoes. And according to the other pshat of Rashi, from his Rebbeim, that the people are going to laugh, that what's he doing wearing one shoe? So Rashi says, even if they're going to laugh at him because they don't realize that he has a wound, he's still not going to take off that shoe, because it's going to be painful him to walk on the roads, that it might get these sharp pointy things are going to hurt him because of the wound that he has, so therefore he's not going to take it off anyway, so we're not going to be concerned that he's going to carry it for us in Rosh Hashanah. That's Rav Huna's pshat, that it's the foot that has the wound that's going to be wearing the sandals. The second pshat the Gemara brings, v'chi barav amar, ba'isa she'in b'maka. It's the foot that does not have the wound that's wearing the shoes. And therefore the Gemara infers, alma, so obviously k'saver that rav, that chi barav holds, that l'shum tainagovin, that people wear these sandals, these shoes, for comfort. That is, for someone who's a more delicate person, then he wears shoes. Who else? You don't need shoes, you can just walk barefoot. B'zushish b'maka, and this person that has a wound, makasa machachas alav, the wound is what proves and shows, for it's obvious, that the reason why he's wearing one shoe is because really he's a delicate person and he usually wears shoes. But the one that has the wound, everyone understands that the wound prevents him from wearing the shoes because it's bandaged or whatever it is, and therefore no one's going to suspect him that what's he doing not wearing a shoe on that foot and that he's obviously carrying it, because they could tell that he has a wound and therefore they're not going to suspect him and there's no mara sign. And according to the other pshat, they're going to laugh at him. They're not going to laugh at him because they realize that it's because of his wound that he's not wearing a shoe, and that obviously he's a delicate person and he usually wears shoes. However, here they're not going to laugh at him because they realize that it's his wound. So therefore, those are due to different pshatim. If it's the foot that has the wound, that's the shoe that you wear it on, and then because you wear shoes only because of tzar. Or it's the other way, that it's only the foot that doesn't have the wound that you wear the shoes. As many people, they have ace bandages or whatever, they can't wear the shoes. And they realize that it's because of the wound, they're not wearing the shoe, and that it's usually because we're delicate people that we wear shoes, but it's not. They're not going to laugh at him, and they're not going to suspect him. So now the Gemara brings a rai to the first pshat. B'Yochanan also agrees to the first pshat that was brought down, to the pshat of Rav Huna, that it's the foot that has the tzar, that's the foot that you want to protect it from getting hurt, but generally you don't need to wear shoes, and that's why it's the foot that has the wound that's the one that you're allowed to wear it on. The Amalei Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon Bar Abba, because as we see from this incident, Rav Yochanan said to Rav Shimon Bar Abba, Havli Misana, give me my shoes. So Yavli Diyamin, he gave him his right shoe. So Amalei Asisu Maka, You considered my right foot as if there was a wound on it. And that is because Rabbi Yechanan holds, as the Gemara is going to explain, that when someone puts on sandals, he puts on shoes, he's supposed to put on the left one first, and then the right one. So therefore, the Gemara thinks right now that what he was telling him was, And if you're giving me my right shoe to put on, I can't put on my left foot afterwards because you're supposed to do left and right. And if I'm doing right, I can't do left afterwards because that would be a disgrace. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So then if I could only go out with my right shoe now, if I'm only going to my right shoe now, you're making this right foot as if there's a wound. So obviously that he holds like Rav Huna, that it's the foot that has the wound, that's the shoe that you wear it on and not on the other one. So that's what he was telling him, that if I'm going to be walking only with the right shoe, it's as if that's the one that has the wound, again, because the one with the wound is the one that wears it and not the other one. So that's what he says, you can make it like a wound. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe he holds like the other pshat, that the foot that doesn't have the wound is the one that you wear the shoe on. And v'hochi kama, this is what he was telling him. Asisa shasmol maka. You're making it my left foot as if there's a wound. And he was telling him that if I go out with only one shoe, the one on the right one, so you're making my left foot as if there's a wound over there because I'm going to be going out with only one shoe on the one that doesn't have the wound. And as Reb Chiya bar Rav held, that because you only wear it on the one that doesn't have a wound, and therefore that's what he's telling him, you're making like a wound, not the right one, but rather you're making the left one because again, it's a reverse type of a situation, therefore it's not a raya that he held like a wound, and maybe he held like Chiya bar Rav. So now the Gemara infers from this story that what Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Shimon bar Rav, but as Rabbi Yochanan Tamir, Rabbi Yochanan was going l'shitas according to his opinion that he said you made that one my foot as if there's a wound on it. From that you could infer that if you put on the right shoe first, then he can't put on the left shoe anymore. And again, that's l'shitas according to his opinion that he held that the left one is more chashiv, as the Gemara brings. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ketfilin kach menon, just like the tefillin, so too is the order regarding shoes, and that is. Just like by tefillin, you put it on the left hand, as the Gemara Menachas and Dav Lamed Zayin learns, says in the pasuk al yadcha, that you should put it on your hand. So it's written in the full yud dalad chav hey. Usually it's written yud dalad with chav seifis and the chav. And here it says with a hey. So the Gemara darshins that it's yad keha, because that's the extra hey that you read yad keha. That's the weak hand, which is the left hand, which is weak regarding the usage as in comparison to the right hand. And that's why lefties, they put it on their right hand. So therefore, just like by tefillin, we put on our left hand, so two shoes we put on our left, and therefore, that's why Rabbi Yochanan held that you first put on your left, then your right. If I'm going to put on my right, I can't put on my left. Afterwards, if I'm only doing the right, so I do the right. But if I'm doing both, it has to be left, then right. And that the Gemara asked Meisvei, we learned, Kishu Noyel, when he puts on the shoes, Noel shel yimin v'achakach noel shel smol, says explicitly in the Braisa that first you put on the right shoe, and then the left one. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say left, then right? So the Gemara brings it, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hashta de Tanya Hachi. So now that we learned the Braisa saying that the right one goes first, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, and Rabbi Yochanan says the left one goes first, the Abed Hachi Abed, whoever does like this one, he can do it like that. But the Abed Hachi Abed, whoever wants to do it like this, could also do it. In other words, you have someone to rely on. You either have a Braisa or you have Rabbi Yochanan. But Amalei Abai told him, how can you say that? Dilma Rabbi Yochanan, Hamas Nitin Lavashmele. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan never heard this Braisa. V'yavashmele, have a Hadrabe, but if he would have heard a Braisa, he would have reversed it, and therefore we cannot do like Rabbi Yochanan. Ve'inami, or maybe, Shmile, maybe heard of this price. Ve'ksava in halacha kaisa mishnah. He held that there is no such halacha like that mishnah. And therefore we have to do like Rabbi Yochanan, not like that mishnah. And therefore he was telling him, how can you say whichever one you want to do like? Maybe it's not true. Maybe the halacha does not follow one of them, and you have to do only like the other one. So maybe the Gemara brings, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Yerishamayim Yitzideishtehim. Someone has the fear of heaven, will fulfill both of them, he'll do like both, of putting on the right first and the left first. Umane, who's this person that's Yerushalayim that does both? Ma b'red ravina. But then the Gemara asks, hey Chavit, how do you do this? How can you put on both first? And that the Gemara says the following order. Saim di mine v'loikata. First put on your right shoe, don't tie it. V'saim di small v'kata, and then put on the left shoe and tie it. V'hoda kata di mine, and then you go ahead and you tie the right shoe. So it comes out that you're first going to put on your right shoe before the left, as the Braisa said, but you're going to tie the left one before the right one, as Rabbi Yochanan, because he was comparing it to tefillin, which is an inning of tying. You tie it on your left arm, so too you tie the left one first, and therefore you can fulfill both the Braisa and Rabbi Yochanan, as our custom is. So the Gemara brings, however, Amar Rav Ashi, Chazin l'Rav Kahana, the Leikah, but as Rav Kahana was not particular, he didn't care which one he put on first, he wasn't concerned about the order. However, the Gemara does bring a Braisa that talks about the Inyan, about putting the right one before the left one in many different halachas. Tanabon. K'shu noel, when he puts on his shoes, noel shel yimin, you first put on the right shoe, v'alkach noel shel smol, then you put on the left shoe. K'shu chaylitz, however, when he takes off his shoes, chaylitz shel smol, he first takes off his left one, because this is the honor of the right, that you'll first take off the left, v'alkach noel shel yimin, and then you take off the right one. And by all the halachas, we say the right first, except for taking off, again, because that's the chashivas for the right, that you first take off the left, and then you take off the right. The Braisa continues, Kishu Reichitz, when he washes himself, Reichitz Shal Yemin, he first washes the right, V'achkach Reichitz Shal Smol, then he washes the left. Kishu Sach, when he anoints himself, Sach Shal Yemin, V'achkach Shal Smol, first he anoints the right, then the left. However, Reitz Alasach Kol Guf, if someone wants to anoint his whole body, Sach Reich Shetchili, should first anoint his head, M'neishu Melech HaKolivar, because it's the king, it's the ruler on all the limbs, and therefore the head goes first, and that's similar halacha regarding taking a shower. When you're anointing the whole body, first you do the head, then the right, then the left. So the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah that said v'loy b'tfilin, that a man is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing his tefillin. So Rav Safra gives an explanation, and the Gemara has two versions of this statement. Amar Rav Safra, leitema aliba demanda amar Shabbos lav zman tefillin. Don't say that this halacha is only according to the one that says that Shabbos is not a time of wearing tefillin. That is, this is a machlekes at the last parak in Erevin on Tzadehim and Beis. The Gemara brings this machlekes. If Shabbos is a time of, is a mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos or not. So don't say it's only according to the one that says that it's not a mitzvah, and therefore it's considered carrying because you're not being a kind of mitzvah of wearing it. Even according to the one that says on Shabbos it is a zman of wearing tefillin, and therefore it's not considered something that should be external, extrinsic to the person, still you're not going to go out with it on Shabbos. And the reason is, Dilma Asala Tui B'Shus Ram, because you might come to carry it for Amas and Shus Ram, because you might take it off of your head when you have to go to the bathroom, and you'll take it into the bathroom. You might come to carry it now that you're taking it off and holding it for Amas and Shus Ram. And therefore, this halacha, you now go out with it on Shabbos, although that possibly not Torah, it's Buta, because it's a Zman of Tefillin. However, for this concern, you might carry it, you're not allowed to wear Tefillin, even if Shabbos is a Zman of Tefillin. Some learn this statement of Rav Safra that don't say just according to that mandama, it's even according to the other mandama, is going on the Sefer, which is in reverse, which is talking about v'im yotza in chayav chatas, that if you did go out with it, you're not liable for a carbon chatas. Again, there's the two halves of our Mishnah that says what's aser, but then the Sefer is talking about, but even if it's aser, it's not chayav chatas, it's not iser deraisa. On that, I'm Rav Safra, loy teima aliba demandama Shabbos zman tefillin hu. In reverse, don't say that this, that you're potter from a chayiv chatas, that minatayri, it's going to be mutter, it's only according to the one that says Shabbos is zman tefillin. And therefore, since it's really part of the mitzvah of Shabbos to wear tefillin, and therefore it's not considered carrying minatayri, el afil demandama Shabbos lazman tefillin hu, in the chayiv chatas. Even according to the one that says that Shabbos is not a zman tefillin, that should be regularly carrying, because what are you doing? You're not being mekayim a mitzvah, still you're not chayiv chatas. Maitama, Derech Malbush Avid, because he's still carrying it in the manner of wearing clothing, and therefore that's not going to be considered Haitzah Minat Torah. However, Midrabanan is going to be Asr, and therefore you're not Chayav Chatas, even according to the one that says Shabbos is not as Zman Tefillin. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. They said, V'loy B'Kameya, a man cannot go out wearing an amulet, B'Zman She'enim in the Mumcha, at a time when it's not from someone that was efficient, that proved himself that he knows how to write amulets that heal people. So I'm Rav Papa. So Rav Papa explains this. Don't say that this heter, that, okay, you can't go out with an amulet that has not been proven to be effective. But if it's been proven to be effective, then it's considered for refuah, and things for refuah are considered intrinsic to the person. Then you could go out. So he says, don't say until the person who writes it, the sefer, has been proven to be effective. Umumcha kemeya, and that also the kemeya, the amulet itself, has been proven to be effective. And that is that this person, the sefer, has written this kemeya for three people, that is, that comes out, that this person that has written it has been proven to be effective, because it's healed three people. And also that the kameya, the amulet itself, has been proven to be effective, because it's healed three people. It says, no, you don't need both. Elakiva de mumcha gavra, as long as the sefer, the one who has written, has been proven to be effective, avagav de le mumcha kameya, even though it's not been proven, the efficacy, the healing properties of this kameya, still it's going to be enough that as long as this person has written three different kameyas for three different people, even though this kameya has not been proven three times because it didn't even heal anyone ever, it's just that this person has been proven he wrote three different kameyas. He never did the one for the sickness that you have. He's written for three different sicknesses for three different people. So he's been proven that he's effective. But this kameya has not been proven effective. Doesn't make a difference. That's enough. As long as he's proven himself, it's going to be enough to go out with that kameya on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Dekanami, we can infer that from our Mishnah. Diktani, because we learned in our Mishnah, v'loy b'kameya, you cannot go out with an amulet, b'zman she'ena min ha-mumcha, at a time that it's not from a mumcha, which is mashma, a adam, the person that a mumcha, that he's been proven to be effective. He didn't say at a time when it is not been proven effective. That would be mashma that the kamei itself has been proven effective. Shmamanasimur says from there you could infer that it's enough as long as the guy, the scribe, has been proven himself to be effective, even though not necessarily in this area of this actual kameya, still you can go out with that kameya on Shabbos, and it's considered refu, it's considered that its effectiveness has been proven from the person, and therefore it's not considered haitza. So the Gemara continues discussing this halacha. Turn up on, we learn the braisa. Ezehu kameya mumcha. What is actually a kameya, an amulet that it itself has been proven to be effective? So the braisa brings, kol sharipa, as long as this kameya has cured one time, vishana and the second time, vishalash and the third time, that's already considered kameya mumcha. And that's echad kameya shel ksav, whether it's a kameya, an amulet of writing, that certain psukim and different verses has been written in there, v'echad kameya shel karna, even a kameya of roots of herbs. And that is because the word kameya really is only a knot, it's like a pouch. And even the kameya that has different herbs inside of it is also called a kameya. It doesn't make a difference what is it that's causing the healing, it could be even a kameya of different herbs. And echad chelish yesh be sakana, ve'echad chelish ein be sakana. Whether it's for a sick person that's in danger of life, whether it's for a sick person that's not in danger of life, these are all permissible types of kameyas to be worn on Shabbos. And even more, loyish nichva, not for a person that has already fallen. In other words, don't say that if someone wants to go out on Shabbos, that he can't go out only if he's already been sick one time from this. And that is, this nichfa is a type of a sickness that a person falls because of it to the ground and he hits himself in the head and the brain and it causes him to fall, which is the sickness of epilepsy. You don't have to say that he's already had this and therefore now it's considered a refuah for him and he can go out with it. Ela shaloi kafa, rather it's even that he should not fall. And that is, he comes from a family that has a history of epilepsy and is concerned that he shouldn't fall, it's preventive, that's also considered a refuah and he can go out with that on Shabbos and it's not a problem. He could tie it and untie it even in the public domain. As long as he doesn't tie it, and the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, b'shir u'betabas. As long as he doesn't tie it to a bracelet and to a ring, that's okay. Because if he goes out with it tied to a bracelet and to a ring, and he goes out with that into the public domain, that's a problem of marasayin, because now it doesn't seem like he's wearing it for a fool. It looks like he's wearing it for an adornment. He's tying it to his bracelet. It's something pretty. And the truth is, it's not a tachshit. The only reason why it's mutter to go out with it is because he's concerned of a sickness. And therefore, since it looks like now that it's for tachshit, and that's really not, so therefore you have the marasayin that someone's going out with that on Shabbos, and it's really usher because of tachshit, because now you don't realize that's for refu, and therefore you shouldn't go out with it tied to a bracelet or a ring, because then again, it seems like it's for a tachshit, and then tachshit really would not permit it, so therefore you can only go out with it when it's obvious that it's for refu purposes, when it's not attached to some type of a jewelry. However, the Gemara asks brings from a brayse that seems to contradict what we just said, that regarding what is considered kameya, that's a mumcha that's been proven to be effective. But Tanya, we learn the brayse ezehu kameya mumcha. What is considered, the same question that we asked, an amulet that's been proven effective? Kol sharipa gimel b'nei adam ke'echad. Any kameya that has healed three different people as one, that's considered kameya mumcha. However, just before we said that as long as the kameya healed once, twice, and three times, and even one person, here we see it has to be three people. And that the Gemara says, loy kasha. Ha, the second verse that we just quoted now, lemchuye gavr, is to prove that the person, the sefer, that he's effective. And that is, this is we said that it has to be three different people, because generally, three different people have three different sicknesses. And therefore, we're talking about three different kameyas, three different amulets that he's writing, they're all not the same one, which are not the same. And therefore, we're coming to show that he's effective, that he's a mumcha for all different types of kameyas that ever he's going to do. And similar to the Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Lama Zayin, that says regarding a shor shenagach, an ox that gores, that when it gores three times, it becomes a mud. So it says that if an ox gores one time a donkey, one time a camel, and one time an ox, he becomes a mood for all different types of animals, because once it's three different animals, we say that it's for all animals. So therefore here also, once he does for three different sicknesses, we say that he's been proven effective for all sicknesses. However, the kamei itself has not been proven to be effective if, let's say, a different healer is going to write it, because it's only been written for one person. Each person had a different kamei. So therefore, that, when we said that it's going to be three different people, is because we want to show that he's effective because he's writing three different amulets. However, ha, regarding the first brisa that we said that it's enough even for one person, that's lemchuyi kameya, that's to prove the effectiveness of the kameya. And that is that we said that if it heals once and twice and three times, it's talking about one sick person, and he wrote the same lachash, the same psukim, let's say, on that and healed three times, or either for one person or for three people, but it's coming to prove the effectiveness of the kameya, that's only the kameya itself becomes been proven effective, whether it's through this person or whether three different healers wrote it. But this kameya healed three times, and therefore it's considered that it has been proven. But then that's why it's enough with one person. But however, if it's to prove the effectiveness of the healer, it has to be three different lachashim, three different types of kameyas, and therefore that's why we said it has to be three different people. So now the Gemara gives gedarim regarding this halacha of proving the effectiveness of the kameya and of the sefer who wrote it. Amar Rav Papa, pshitli, it's obvious to me, talas kameya letlas gavi, that if there were three different types of kameyas written for three people, tlosa tlosa zimni, and that each one, each lachash, each spell, so to speak, that's written on the kameya, it healed three times, even one person. So then, itamchi gavra, the itamchi kameya. So then, the person who wrote it has been proven to be effective for all kameyas in the whole world, because he's shown himself to be effective in three different kameyas. And each one of these kameyas has also been proven to be effective. That is because it's each one, each kameya has healed three different people, and therefore it's been proven effective. And Rashi says that you shouldn't say that it's, so to speak, the mazel of the healer, of the reife that caused it, of the doctor, because it doesn't really depend on the mazel of the healer, rather with his wisdom. And also you can't say it's the mazel of the sick person, which generally that could be a factor, that because that he's the type of person that gets healed through kameyas, because we have three different people that got healed by the same kameya. And therefore we say that not only has the healer been proven effective, but this kameya has been proven effective because it healed, the same kameya healed three different people. So Rav Papa continues, and regarding tlasa kameya letlasa gavi, that if there was three kameyas written for three people, but chad chad zimna, each one healing only one time, then gavri tamchi kameya loy tamchi. So then the healer proved himself. However, the kameya itself has not been proven if, let's say, a different healer would want to write that, because again, each one only healed one time, and that's not enough to prove the effectiveness of the kameya, because the kameya has to heal three times. This person, the cipher, he healed three times, and therefore he has been proven effective. Republic continues, Chad kamei letlas agavi, if one kameya was written for three different people, that is for one sickness, that's why it's one kameya, kameya itamchi gavar lo itamchi. So then the kameya has been proven to be effective, but the person, the healer, has not been proven to be effective. And that is, the kameya has been proven to be effective that anyone that wants to write it, but the healer has not been proven for a different kameya that's not this exact one that he wrote, and that for this sickness, because again, it was only one kameya that he wrote, he has to write three different kameyas to prove his effectiveness in all the different areas of this kameya, of the amulets, and therefore only the kameya has been proven and not the person. However, this is what Rav Papa is not sure about. But Rav Papa asked, what's with tlosa kameya lachad gavamai? What's regarding three different kameyas of three different sicknesses that he wrote for one person? That is, kameya vadu lo itamchi, the amulet definitely has not been proven. That is, if someone else would want to go ahead and write it because it's only healed one time. However, gavri itamchi or lo itamchi, has the healer proven himself that he's effective or not? And the question is, mi aminan ha'asile, do we say that l'maisa he healed this person three times, and therefore he's been proving himself that he's effective, and he did it three with three different sicknesses? Oidilmo, maybe do we say, mazla da hai gavra hu de kamakabal ksav, that maybe it's the mazel, it's the divine protection of this person that he accepts a cure through amulets, and therefore maybe it's that this person has a certain malach, that's makabal kameyas, and therefore you can't prove that it's the healer, maybe it's the one that's getting healed, that it's his mazel. And Rashi asked that from the Mishnah, it would seem that it says that whatever healed, the brice that we brought on Naman Aleph, that whatever healed one time and two times or three times, and Samash was talking about one person as we said, and we say that the kameya has been proven effective, and we don't say it's the mazel of that one person that was healed. So Rashi says that there it's different, because they were talking about by one kameya, and we don't say that it's the mazel of the person, rather it's the kameya, because we have the kameya that's been proven three times. But he says in this case, it definitely has to be one of the two people, because each kameya was only one time done. So it's either the roife or the misrapa, either the healer or the one who's being healed. And therefore we're asking, who are we going to say that it is? Is it the healer, that he's been proving himself to be effective, or the one who's being healed, that it's his mazel, that he has a special divine protection from his malach? And therefore the Gemara says, take it, that the question stands, and it's not proven about that, if it's been proven that the person is effective, or that maybe it's the one that was healed, since it was only one person with three different sicknesses, maybe it's his mazel that he works with amulets. So the Gemara continues on this topic. Ibailu, they asked the following question. Kimeyin, regarding these amulets that have these different psukim written inside of it, yesh b'mishum kedusha, idim ein b'hem mishum kedusha. Do we say that it has a certain sanctity, it has kedusha, it has psukim and different verses and Hebrew words written inside of it, it has kedusha, or maybe not? So what's the difference? If you say that it's regarding the question about saving it from a fire, that on Shabbos is a special halacha that we're allowed to take out something from a house to a chatzar, to a courtyard that's mixed from all the different houses, that it's a sheared courtyard, like other holy scripts, kisvei kodesh, that we allow a person to bring it out there to the chatzar hamurevis on Shabbos. So the question is, would that heter apply to these things that have these amulets, these kameis, because they also have a certain kedusha? Nah, toshama, I'll bring you as proof that explicitly it says habrachas vakamein, regarding brachas, which are different things that are chum or mesakin. For example, the nine brachas on Rosh Hashanah, which has malchis, achrin, shayfis. These are different psukim which were inserted into the tefillas that we say and the kameyan. Afa pishyesh ben oisis uminyonis habeshabatari. Even though these things have different words and different concepts that are taken from the Torah, because a lot of parashas from the Torah are written in these different amulets for refuah. However, still, in matzil noisim nehad leka, we're not allowed to save it from a fire on Shabbos to bring it out into the shared courtyard. When the stuff will come and they're burnt in their place. So therefore, what's the question? We see explicitly that for that purpose, kameis cannot, they're not considered that they have kedusha that you can save from the fire. Ella, rather, the question was in geniza, regarding hiding it. In other words, that you have to have some kedusha that when you're not using it anymore, you have to put it in the geniza in hiding, that it shouldn't be a disgrace for it lying around. On that toshim, I'll bring you a proof also. Hayakasav al yodas akeim. We learned that if the name of Hashem was written on the handles of a vessel, valkaria mito on the legs of a bed, that yogurt he should cut off that place where it has the name of Hashem, viyganzu, and he should hide it. And that is that we say you take off the name of Hashem and you hide it. So therefore, it's obvious that for that purpose, it is considered something that has kedusha. So therefore, what's the question? Elly konas ben bebesa kesa. The question was, are you allowed to take in these amulets, these kameyas, into the bathroom? My yesh bim kedusha vas. Do we say that it has kedusha, and like anything that has dvarim shebe kedusha, now take into the bathroom? Idema ein behem shem kedusha b'shoyin. And therefore, for that purpose, that although for these other things we say that maybe it has kedusha that you have to hide it. However, regarding same from Shabbos, it's not considered kedusha. What's the halacha regarding taking the bathroom? Does it have kedusha and that it's aser or not? B'shoyin, it's going to be mutter to take it into the bathroom. On that toshma, bring a proof from our Mishnah. We learned v'loy b'kameya b'zman she'inim in the mumchid. You're not allowed to take out, you're not allowed to carry out an amulet on Shabbos at a time that has not been proven effective. But if it's been from someone that's proven himself effective in writing amulets, kameis, so then you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. And if you're going to say that kameis have kedusha, and therefore you're not allowed to take it into the bathroom, but zimna de mitzrich lebezakis, sometimes it's going to happen that one who is wearing the kameis on Shabbos is going to have to use the bathroom. And he can't take it in, so he's going to take it off. And he's going to come to carry it for Amos in Rosh Hashanah, because their bathrooms generally were out in the fields. So you're out in the field and you're in Shusaram and you're carrying it. So obviously there's no Kedusha on these kameis, and therefore that's why you're allowed to go into the bathroom with it, because if you couldn't go into the bathroom with it, you might come to carry it. So how do we let you go out with a kameis, even if it's from a mumcha that has been proven effective? And I think where it says, no, it's not a proof. What are we talking about in our Mishnah? When it says you're allowed to go out with a kameya that's been proven effective, it's talking about a kameya that has roots of herbs, and that has no kedusha at all. It's a different type of kameya, works differently than the ones with all the psukim and all these different things. So therefore, you can't prove them there, because if it had a kameya of writings, then of course you wouldn't be able to go out with it. But the Gemara asked for a time we learned in the Braisa, Echad kameya shel ksav, echad kameya shel karen, that it's not true. On Shabbos, you can go out with, if it's been proven effective, both an amulet of writing and an amulet of different roots of herbs. So the Gemara says, Elohim Eskin, what are we talking about in our Mishnah? B'choyle sheyesh b'sakan. We're talking about a person that's in danger of his life, that if you took off the amulet, the kameya, that he might die. And therefore, such a person is allowed to go out with it into the bathroom because of b'kuch nefesh. That's why our Mishnah says he's allowed to wear that on Shabbos. But the Gemara asks, about time we learn the price, it's not true. Echad choyle sheyesh b'sakan, v'echad choyle sheyesh b'sakan. That even the person that's not in danger of his life is still allowed to wear this kameya, that if it's been proven effective on Shabbos, and therefore, if you're going to say that this kedusha, how can you go out with it, even if you're chel shein b'sakana, if you have to take it off? Because you can't go into the bathroom, you're not in danger of your life, and therefore you might come to carry it for Amos and the Shusram. Obviously, there is no kedusha on these kameyas. The Gemara says, no, it's not approved. Elikivin demase. Since these kameis cure, even for someone that's not in danger of his life, then afagav denokid lebi yodei, even if he's holding it and carrying it in his hand, nami shaper dami, it's still considered a tachshit, an adornment, intrinsic to the person, even when he's holding it. And therefore, even if he's coming to carry it for amas and shos ram in his hands, he's not going to be chayv, just like if he was carrying it for amas and shos ram around his neck, it's not considered carrying, it's considered intrinsic to the person. So to even his hand, it still has the same property of a tachshit, because that it's doing what it does around his neck or in his hand, it's a refuah, and therefore it's not going to be a raya. Therefore, you could say that maybe there is kedusha in these things, and therefore you're not allowed to go into the bathroom with it. And even so, even though you're not going to the bathroom, so then you're going to have to put it into your hands and carry it, that's still not, so to speak, considered haitzah carrying, because that's still considered tach, even when it's in his hand. We continue on the top of Samach Bezim et Af, where the Gemara asked, but time we learn the braisa, not like that. Rabbi Yishri Oimer, Ubavacha lo yachzin beyadu. You're allowed to go out with kameya that's been proven effective on Shabbos as long as you don't hold it in your hand and come to carry it for Amos and Shusar Abim. So you see that it's not considered tachshid only when he's wearing it, but not when it's in his hand. So therefore the Gemara says, what are we talking about? What is the het of our Mishnah? We're talking about that it's covered with hide. And that is, so it's not a disgrace if you take in this amulet into the bathroom, and you don't have to take it off because it would only be if it would be out in the open, the words of Hashem. But since it's covered with hide, so therefore it's not a problem about wearing it to the bathroom, and that's why you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, although there is sanctity. And if it was uncovered, it would be aser, but our case of the Mishnah is talking about that it's covered with hide, and therefore there's no problem about wearing it on Shabbos because you could take it into the bathroom since it's covered. But then the Gemara asks, how does that help that it's covered in hide? Very tefillin, the mechuba'ar, tefillin are covered with hide. Those are the boxes that the parshis of the tefillin are in. B'tani will in the braisa, hanichnas labeis akisa. If someone goes into the bathroom, choylitz tefillin barachik arba amas v'nichnas. He has to take off his tefillin 4 amas away, and then he can go into the bathroom. And that's in spite of the fact that the parshis of the tefillin are covered with hide. Because we have the 4 different parshis that are written inside of them. They're stuck into these boxes made out of hide. So we see that covering hide doesn't help. So the Gemara says that tefillin are different. Hasa mishum shin. That's because of the shin that's written on the box itself. That it's made out of the hide, that they make like 3 different creases in the shape of a shin from the name of Shakai. That's the shin, dalet, and yun of one of Hashem's names. So that's the shin that's on the box. The dalet and the yud are made in the leather straps. That is, they take the strap that's behind the head by the nape. That one, you take one strap to the north and one to the east, and that they turn it into a shape that looks like a dalet. And then on the tefillin shaliyah, they take a small little strap on the side of the box, and you make a little, also bend it a little bit in the shape of a yud, and they shape it when it's still wet and moist, and that stays like that bend forever. So that is Hashem's name, the shin on the box, the dalet on the strap in the back, and the yud on the near the tefillin shaliyah. So therefore, the box is different because it's not covered in hide because you have Hashem's name on the box itself. As the Gemara brings, Dama Abaya, Shin Shal Tefillin Halacha L'Meshem Esina, having a shin in the shape of a shin of that letter on the Tefillin Shal Roish is Halacha L'Meshem Esina. It's Halacha that was given over from Mesoria, from Moshe Bay Sinai. And moreover, Vama Abaya, Dalet Shal Tefillin Halacha L'Meshem Esina. To have the shape of a Dalet by the Ritzu in the back of the head is also Halacha L'Meshem Esina. Vama Abaya, Yud Shal Tefillin Halacha L'Meshem Esina. Also the Yud by the Tefillin Shayad, as we mentioned, is also Halacha L'Meshem Esina. And therefore, the Batim, the boxes of tefillin are different, although when something is concealed and hide, it's mutter because it's not on the open. And therefore, although there might be sanctity in these kameis, our Mishnah says you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, although you might have to go to the bathroom, but since it's covered in hide, it's not a problem. However, tefillin, that you're not allowed to go out with it, even though it's covered in hide, because besides the parshas that are inside the tefillin, the box itself has kedusha because it has Hashem's name on it, both on the box and on the ritzuas of the shal reish and the shal yad, because it has the shin, dalet, and the yud.